Brooklyn Moose, also known as Brooklyn Moose Sabbat, was described by her loved ones as a funny young woman whose smile was infectious. Born on February 24th, 1989, to parents Brenda Moose and Delbert Sabbat, Brooklyn was one of 10 children, her siblings being Jason, Tyrrell, Jesse, Raven, Johnny, Leo, DeVale, Riley, and Joel. At 25 years of age, Brooklyn herself was a proud mother of two, Damien and Navia. By 2014, Moose lived at an address on the 900 block of Athol Street in the north central neighbourhood of Regina, Saskatchewan, an area known to be rough, with drugs, violence and poverty being prevalent in the vicinity. She lived with a female roommate. However, in December of 2014, Moose asked her to leave following an explosive argument. Upon her eviction, the roommate allegedly threatened Brooklyn with violence, though it's unclear whether these threats were substantiated in any way. Regardless, after evicting the roommate, Brooklyn changed the apartment locks in order to prevent the roommate from returning. However, rather oddly, Brooklyn changed the locks not once, but twice, once again just weeks later, for reasons unknown. Brooklyn then started looking for a new tenant to live with her, mainly in order to cut back on how much money she would have to pay for the rent. Just weeks after changing the locks a second time, Brooklyn mysteriously vanished. On February 27th, 2015, at around 3 a.m, Brooklyn messaged her mother to inform her that she was on her way home from a party in East Regina after things started getting a bit rowdy. Many attendees were drinking alcohol, but it is alleged that Brooklyn herself had not been drinking that night. By the following morning, the 25-year-old had not returned, leaving her family anxious and afraid that something had happened to her. As the days passed with no word, Brooklyn's family and friends went out to search for her, day and night in the weeks that followed, but their efforts proved to be fruitless. 4 months later, in July of 2015, the Regina Police Service issued a press release in which they appealed to the public for assistance in locating Brooklyn Moose. In this particular statement, authorities revealed that Moose had actually a warrant out for her arrest for unspecified minor offences. Their appeals resulted in no significant leads or tips, and the trail once again went cold. 7 months had passed since the mother of two vanished, and there was no sign of her. Brooklyn's family's hope of finding her alive had somewhat dwindled by this point. In September of 2015, however, their worst fears were realised. On September 11th, the property owner of Brooklyn's apartment had been inspecting the home after evicting her a short time prior to her disappearance for reasons unknown, and discovered the television stand placed below the attic hatch with some insulation on the floor around it. After having heard that Brooklyn was a missing person, the owner contacted police and suggested they search the attic. Some find it rather odd that the property manager didn't investigate the attic himself before calling the authorities, especially if the apartment was supposedly vacant for 7 months. It seems strange that he didn't inspect the property once during this time, nor the police for that matter. Searching the home of a missing person is usually the first protocol investigators take in order to find clues as to the person's whereabouts or potentially what happened to them. Did the RCMP fail to conduct a search of Brooklyn's apartment, or was the attic simply overlooked during a property search? Firefighters were called in to help, but in order to gain entry into the attic, they had to use power tools to enter from the outside. Following this, the major crimes unit, the coroner, and the forensic investigations team arrived on the scene to investigate. Authorities opened the hatch, and immediately stacks of insulation fell on top of them. This suggested that the insulation had been placed on the inside of the hatch door, suggesting it wasn't someone from below the hatch or from the outside who placed it there. Because of this detail, the RCMP believed that Brooklyn took her own life, as they simply couldn't see how anyone could have placed the insulation there from the outside. The discovery of Brooklyn's body left many shocked and shaking their heads. Why did it take 7 months to find Brooklyn deceased in her own apartment? Was the apartment not searched after she was reported missing? Was Brooklyn even in the attic at that time, or was she moved there sometime afterwards by her potential killer? If police had searched the property following Brooklyn's disappearance, the TV stand and the insulation on the floor would have been in the same place if she had taken her own life. Surely they would have found her straight away. But why didn't they? What is also unclear is what condition Brooklyn's body was found in. After several months, Moose would have been in a state of severe decomposition. Global News reported that the autopsy revealed no criminal aspects in Brooklyn's death, but if authorities were certain that this was a suicide, what evidence supported their conclusion? Bags of insulation falling on them is hardly evidence, let alone a remote suggestion of suicide. Unfortunately, any traces of drugs or alcohol would have been long gone by this time, and due to decomposition, it would have been unlikely that any bruising, injuries, or defensive wounds would have been visible by the time she was discovered. Regina RCMP saw Brooklyn's death as an open and closed case, manner of death being suicide, but Brooklyn's family didn't believe that she would have taken her own life, and even those who lived in the community had doubts about this. Authorities, however, stated that they had no reason to believe that Brooklyn had been a victim of foul play, nor believed that her death was crime-related. In an article published on CBC News, Brooklyn's grandmother, Margaret Moose, voiced her heartbreak and devastation after learning that police deemed no foul play was involved in her granddaughter's death. She told the reporter, Christy Ann Hoffman, that she is working to challenge the police findings, as she is of the firm belief that Brooklyn was a victim of foul play and that she did not take her own life. Then came a further twist in this tale. Shortly following the discovery of Brooklyn's remains, in the early hours of a cold November morning in 2015, a phone call was made to the Regina Fire Department regarding a blaze on Athol Street. An unknown person had entered the apartment, previously rented by Brooklyn Moose, flooded the attic with gasoline, and then subsequently set it alight. Unfortunately, we don't know much about this fire. Were there any signs of forced entry, or did the perpetrator have access to the apartment, perhaps being in possession of a key? The property manager, who has never been publicly named, mentioned that the apartment had been broken into, but was there any evidence to support this? Could a potential perpetrator or perpetrators have tried to burn any evidence they may have left behind? Perhaps clues which could have been crucial in identifying and or apprehending them in relation to Brooklyn's death. The fire and the fact it happened to occur in the exact same place where Brooklyn's body was found just weeks prior certainly casts doubt on a simple suicide case. What would be achieved by burning the scene if there was no reason behind it? To this day, investigators have no clue as to who set the fire or why, though firefighters did confirm that the blaze was deliberate. The timing and the circumstances, however, do seem somewhat suspicious. All we are left with are speculations and theories. Was the previous roommate's threat of violence serious rather than conjecture? We only know of two people who did not entirely approve of Brooklyn: the female roommate who she had thrown out, and the property owner who had evicted her, though on what grounds, we don't know. One other possible theory is that Brooklyn changed the locks the second time in order to prevent being evicted, but the owner maybe found out that the locks had been changed without their consent. Had Brooklyn and the property manager had a disagreement or confrontation of some kind because of this? Whether either party was involved in Moose's death remains unknown. There is simply no concrete evidence to suggest that either were involved. Others believe that Brooklyn was perhaps murdered on her way home from the gathering in East Regina on February 27th, but they must have known at least where she lived in order to conceal her remains in the attic. Ultimately, whether Brooklyn's death was a suicide, natural causes, an accident, or as a result of foul play remains a mystery. Her son and daughter now live with relatives, but the loss of their mother has left a heartbreaking absence in their lives. All Moose's family want is for the truth to come to light. Brooklyn's death made very little sense, if any, to her loved ones. What possible reasons could she have had to end her own life? On the other hand, if Brooklyn was a victim of homicide, who was responsible and why did they kill her? Following the devastating loss of her granddaughter, Margaret Moose attended a shaking tent, a place where many Indigenous people go to attend ceremonies led by elders who call upon spirits for answers, mainly in regards to the likes of hunting tips, healing, and locating the lost. During this, Margaret found some comfort after having been told that Brooklyn had found the spirit world. Margaret nor the Moose Sabbat families have given up hope in finding out the truth. All they want is answers and for justice to prevail. If you have any information regarding the unexplained death of Brooklyn Moose, you are encouraged to contact the Regina RCMP on 306 781 5050, or you can contact Crime Stoppers anonymously on 1800 222 8477. Thank you for giving today's case a moment of your time, and we will see you again in the next episode.